right, guys, another free pod number two, free for you guys. I'm MadLab. You know, I had a really good time with the first one. I told you guys that this show is going to be a little bit different than all the other Labology shows. We're going to discuss more of topics and not so much dive into the fights and stuff like that. We're going to talk about a multitude of things, all combat sports, all the time, whether it's boxing, MMA, wrestling, whatever you guys, not professional wrestling, collegiate wrestling, or, you know, such like that. Any, you know, anything you guys want to talk about combat sports wise, we can sit here and we can discuss it. You can shoot me your questions. There was a very big topic that I want to jump into, and I'm not really hot about it anymore. I was kind of hot and passionate. I'm very passionate about it, but I wouldn't say I'm really hot about it. But this seems to be a topic that a lot of people talk about, and a lot of people just, they have their own opinion. It's these are the topics that I love. You know, there's certain topics you can't argue with people about, like even if outside of sports. You got religion, you got politics, like they don't end well. You know, they never end well. And these are the topics that sometimes they don't end well, but they don't end well in healthy manners. Everybody has their own opinions and everybody has their rhymes and reasons and their rites of passage, you know, and stuff like that. So this is a topic that since the beginning of God forever, I mean, in every sport, people talk about, people argue about, and, you know, I've been in the restaurant business for a long time, and it's a topic that always come up at the bar, and people would talk about it, and I would just listen. You know, I would listen to where people's minds are, you know, with this topic and stuff like that, and some people I would agree with, and some people I just think that they're completely off the fucking mark and out of their birds, you know, and some people made some points that, you know, I could get behind, and I didn't even think of them myself. So this is the type of topic that's a learning topic, but it's also a passionate topic. And if you really have a firm stance on it, you guys are going to love it. And I got this idea because I tweeted something out that ended up getting a lot of traction from people, a lot of passion from people, and everybody had their own opinions, and some people were with me and some people were against me. So I decided to jump out and do a pod basically on the premise of what it takes, what makes an all-time great in combat sports. You know, what makes you an all-time great? What credentials do you need? And what, you know, what achievements do you have to have, you know, longevity-wise to be an all-time great? What makes you and what categorizes you as an all-time great or somebody that's just great for the era? Think about that. A lot of people don't really go down that rabbit hole. They just kind of look at what makes you great, an all-time great. If you're great, you're an all-time great. That's not the case. There's many forms of great. Many, many, many forms of great. John Jones is a great fighter. He's a great fighter. Is he great outside the cage? No, he's not great outside the cage. You know, does he have a shitload of problems? Did we really see what John Jones is fully capable of? Probably not. You know, probably not just because of all his outside of the cage shenanigans. But, you know, then you got other guys, you know, that just completely have stayed out of the spotlight and has never gotten in trouble. You know, if you want to go over to another sport, you look at, you know, some of these athletes like the Tom Brady's and stuff like that, like they've never been involved in scandals and stuff like that. Like that to me, that all kind of ties in all-time great, because being a public figure and being somebody who's in sports and somebody that kids look up to and people look up to, and, you know, they watch you on a daily basis and they feel like they know you, even though you don't know them. There's something that comes with your career and something comes with that job title where you have to conduct yourself a certain way. So it's not what you always do inside the cage from a performance perspective. I do tend to look at the performance more than everything. But there's an argument to be made that sometimes the personality of the person and the fabric of a person, the morality of a person can tie into that all-time great facade, you know? And I'm not saying it does, but I'm saying there's so many opinions out there of what makes somebody an all-time great. And some people will tie that into it. I've heard many, many people, guys like Jerry Rice, you know, people talk about, you know, all-time greats, and he's never gotten, it always comes up in conversation, what a great fighter, what a great athlete, what a great football player, and he's never gotten into trouble, he's never been in lawsuits, he's never had this, he's never had that. So, you know, you really got to look at, you know, everybody has a baseline of what they think an all-time great is, you know, and it really depends on what your baseline is. Are you gearing it strictly towards performance? Are you gearing it towards just their record? Are you gearing it towards how many knockouts they have, how many submissions they have, Are they undefeated? How many titles have they won? How many times have they been, put in situations where they were in horrible situations where they came out alive, or they suffered defeat and came back and won? Like, there's so many things that people can tie into their monologue of what an all-time great is. There's really no right or wrong answer. But what I'm doing today is I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give you some of my philosophies of what an all-time great is, what a great fighter is, and what a great fighter for the era is. People throw the term around great very, very loosely today. I've been a victim of it, in certain aspects of fighting and certain aspects. But sometimes I say it more of a figure of speech. I'll see a fight, the fight will be good, the guy will fight great, and I'll be like, man, that dude is great. Like, but I don't mean it in a philosophy of that dude is great, like he's great. Sometimes we throw around that, and I've tried so hard, and I've become so much better with it, using that term great. People throw that term around way too loosely. If all these people and all these athletes, everybody was ranked as great, it wouldn't be special anymore. There's good. There's very good. Potential to be great. Very good for that era. Great for the era. But when you're throwing around the terms all-time great, that is a very, 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 very heavy statement. So now the debate was not, the tweet was nothing about being an all-time great. It didn't start off that way. The tweet was basically, Conor McGregor saying that he wanted a fight for the BMF title against Jorge Masvidal. And all I did was chime in and say that will not end well for him. That's all I tweeted, point blank. This thing went fucking berserk. People just started liking it and retweeting it and commenting on it. Then as the comments started generating through and through and through, it started becoming people talking shit about Masvidal, people talking shit about Conor. Then it started coming, he's great. He's great, he's great, he's great, all-time great, all-time great. And that's when everybody started chiming in with their opinions. And I chimed in with mine, and I got bashed by a couple people, and that's fine. That's their opinion. I looked at some people's comments, and I was just like, these fucking people are completely out of their fucking birds if they're categorizing him as an all-time great. However, the mistake that I made is I didn't ask them what their credentials were to categorize him as an all-time great. So what are their credentials? What is your streamline to an all-time great? Is it being a pioneer? Is it because he became the double champ? Is it because he has transcended the money stream of MMA with his mouth? Are these all things that you're tying in? Then I get it, but I don't use those as streamlines to being an all-time great. There's an argument for it, yes. There's an absolute argument for it that he is an all-time great when it comes to the marketing end of things and the selling yourself end of things and the pioneer end of things. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to deny that. The guy helped the sport in tenfolds. However, when you're talking about performance, and I think the whole thing was sprung upon with Max Holloway. People were saying that, he beat Max and Max is the champ. And, think about what he would do to Max was 20 years old back then. And I think that people took this kind of the wrong way. They're like, well, he was 20 years old. Age don't mean nothing. Age does mean something when you're 20 years old. When you're 20 years old, you haven't scratched the surface of your potential. You haven't even scratched the surface of your potential. You just haven't. So I'm not saying that Conor, back in the day, didn't beat him, wasn't more talented than him. It was a lucky fight. No, he beat Max Holloway when they fought. However, if you look at the transcendence of both of them, they both, became great fighters. They both became these great fighters for the era. They made statements. They made statements for the era, and when you look at Max, how he's transcended his game so much, how can you sit here and say just because Conor beat him when he was 20 in 2013, he can do it again? He's a completely different fighter. Nobody's saying, I didn't say that, he got lucky when he beat Max back then. But he didn't fight Max Holloway. He did not fight the Max Holloway of today. And to me, the Max Holloway of today has transcended his game, Not his marketing, not his prowess of his mouth and his money and this and that. He transcended his game much more in my eyes than Connor did since 2013. His game inside the cage, don't get it twisted when I'm saying, you know, Connor transcended the game. Max transcended his game inside the cage. Have they both had their woes? Yes, they have. You know, they both have their up and downs right now. But you guys like some of these guys missed the point when I'm talking about he didn't fight Max Holloway back then. That wasn't the Max Holloway of today that he fought. It'd be a completely different fight. Do I think Max would beat him? A healthy primed Max right now against a healthy Conor, who would I think win? I think Max wins that fight. I do. I think Max wins that fight. So that's my opinion. And there's a lot of people that will not. Do I think that Masvidal beats him? Yes, I do. I think Masvidal is too big for him. I think Conor has a decent chin. I think Conor has very accurate striking. He's very fast. But I also don't think that Conor has the sheer legendary will. You got to understand when I say legendary will. He doesn't have the legendary will to go deep. And he has shown that. He's shown it against Habib. He kind of gave up. He showed it against Nate Diaz. He kind of gave up. When things are good, things are great. But when things are going bad, he gave up. Like, there were two fights, I'm sorry, where he kind of gave up. Listen, he had no way out in either fight. I'm not going to say he had a way out and he could have did this. The guy was going. But the guy literally just, Nate Diaz fight, he kind of just, I mean, how do you do that? You just kind of go for a shot because you're exhausted. He knew he wasn't going. And as far as Habib just, he knew. I mean, he knew he was not winning that fight. The way he was talking to Habib at the end of the round, you know, it was strictly business. And he knew he was losing that fight. He was defeated. He was beaten. He was battered. He was basically trying to survive in that fight. So I'm not sold on the Conor McGregor, you know, mystique that this guy will just fight back from the depths of hell to be, to win a fight. Has he shown me he's durable? Has he shown me he's been in some fucking cat fights before? The second fight with Nate Diaz? Yeah, he showed me things. But there's certain situations that you could put Conor in that it looks like he's giving up a little bit. And I'm sorry to tell you guys, but to me, that's not an all-time great. I mean, if you really look at his record, let's look at his record and let's look at where, if you're looking at performance based only, okay? You're looking at performance based only. To me, the only thing that really matters is the UFC. You know, I mean, you could have 50 wins and you could come into the UFC and have four, wins in the UFC. And they're really the only ones that matter to me. You know what I mean? They really are. I mean, you don't know the regional circuits that these guys were fighting on, that they had 20 wins and woo, that shit means nothing to me. So if you look at his fights, okay, if you look at the landscape of his fights, where his if you want to go resume wise, okay, he's basically okay. So he had Marcus Brimage, Max Holloway, Diego Brandão, Dustin Poirier, Dennis Seaver, Chad Mendez, Jose Aldo. That's his win streak. Then he loses to Nate Diaz. Then he bounces back. He beats Nate Diaz in the decision, and he beats Eddie Alvarez, and then he gets beat by Habib. So, you know, if you want to label him, if you want to take his UFC landscape and label that as him being an all-time great, that's up to you. There's one fighter on here, you know, that, you know, everyone's like, you know, he fucking did this and he knocked him out and how can you say that? And Jose Aldo, I'm never going to make an excuse for it. He beat Jose Aldo. But what I'm going to say is in every fight, people do get caught. And I think the Jose Aldo fight, we did not get to see the fight that we deserved to see. We did not deserve to see the fight that we saw. He caught Jose Aldo seconds into the fight. He caught him. People get caught. Was it a beautiful punch? Was it beautifully timed? Yes, but he got caught. You don't know how that fight would have been if these two guys actually clashed for a couple rounds. You don't know. Like, you don't know. He didn't beat him from pillar to post. He didn't out 30-27. He didn't knock him out in the third round and just batter him for three rounds. He caught Jose Aldo, and it's a fucking shame that that happened because we'll never know. We'll really, truly never know, you know, who out of these two guys, when they were, you know, ripping and roaring, who was better. I personally think when Jose Aldo was Jose Aldo, he was far, he would have beat Conor McGregor. That's my opinion. It's not me being a Conor hater. It's not being, you know, a pro Aldo. I just personally think a primed up, confident Aldo beats Conor McGregor. He got caught. He lost. It happens. Look at GSP. And I'm going to go back to this because people don't want to go back to this. They just want to compare that. Hey, Conor knocked out Jose Aldo. Great. He did. One shot. You know who else knocked out GSP? Matt Serra. Matt Serra caught GSP. Does that make Matt Serra anywhere on the plane of George St. Pierre? No, because what happens when they fought again? GSP took it to him. Now, I'm not comparing the two. I'm not saying that, you know, Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor, there was such a huge disparity in their talents and stuff like that, like there was with Matt Serra and GSP. You know, there was a major disparity in the competition between GSP and Matt Serra, a major disparity. But he got caught. He got caught. That's exactly what happened to GSP. That fight goes on 100 times. That doesn't happen 99 of them. He got caught by when Matt Serra won that fight. Did you see the way he did the fucking the backflip and he looked shocked. He put his hands in front of his mouth. He couldn't even believe he won that fucking fight. It happens. It's combat sports. It fucking happens. That fight is no indication that Conor McGregor is a better fighter than Jose Aldo. I'm sorry, but it's not. It's not. You got to show me a fight. You got to show me a fucking fight. You got to show me the fight like Khabib and Conor, where it's just night and day. You just know that Khabib is the better fighter. Went four rounds. They fought. Khabib took it to him for four fucking rounds. You know, the Eddie Alvarez fight. He knocked out Eddie Alvarez. Conor's the better fighter. It went a couple rounds. You showed me something. Nate Diaz, neck and neck. Neck and neck. That decision, I personally had Nate Diaz winning that fight by a hair. Can't argue with it, though. That was a neck-and-neck fight. Chad Mendez, he was losing to Chad Mendez. And then Chad Mendez gassed out. Dennis Seaver, who gives a shit about Dennis Seaver? Dustin Poirier, 2014, he wasn't the Dustin Poirier that he was today. Diego Brandão, who gives a shit? Max Holloway, he was 20 years old. Marcus Brimage, who gives a shit? He's fought some good fighters, yeah, but how many really good fighters has he fought? He fought solid fighters that were coming up, and now their names. That's the thing. Like, now their names. Chad Mendez was really good back then. You know, he gassed out. That was his problem. But he was taking it to Conor for a little bit. You know, but listen, I'm not saying that Conor got lucky or Conor's a better fighter. Period. End. But Chad Mendez gave him a run. Chad Mendez gassed out. Jose Aldo. Knocked him out one punch. Get it. Fine. 13 seconds in. Fine. That doesn't prove anything to me, dude. Beating Dennis Seaver proves nothing to me. Beating Diego Brandão proves nothing to me. Beating Marcus Brimage proves nothing to me. Beating Max Holloway at 20 years old. Yeah, cool. Beat him now. Dustin Poirier, 2014. Good. Big name. Fight him now. Nate Diaz. Okay. Got it. Great fight. Awesome two fights. I want to see the trilogy. Eddie Alvarez. I get behind it. I'll get behind it, even though Eddie Alvarez is completely washed up. I never thought Eddie Alvarez was some fantastic, great fighter. Khabib. He got smoked. Show me more. Show me more. I would have loved to see the rematch with Aldo. Why they never did it, I have no idea. But I would have loved to see the rematch from Aldo. You have to really just go through that, though. You got to, you know, bury that in your mind. If you want to sit here and go by record, you want to go by the talent pool, that's what I go by. What is the talent pool that you fought that makes you great? What made him great, what made Conor, the mystique of Conor McGregor great, was his mouth, his ability to sell, his ability to transcend the game, which we're all grateful for, and his ability to obviously be a pioneer when it came to the, you know, the champ. And, you know, he truly became like a Muhammad Ali of MMA with his mouth. You know, and he fitted so perfectly because he meant it, and he was sharp, and he's witty, and it's just his persona. It fits him. It doesn't fit somebody like a Tony Ferguson. Like when Tony Ferguson talks trash, it just doesn't sound right. When Kobe Covington talks trash, it doesn't sound right. That's a talent in itself. What Conor McGregor does is a talent in itself, to know how to market, to know how to draw people in. He understands. He's very well dressed. A little too much for me as far as like his persona and stuff like that. But the guy, honestly, I don't think he's this fucking brash fucking dude. Like, I think he's honestly a pretty good dude. Like, behind closed doors, he's thoughtful. Like, if he's watching fights now and he tweets about them and what a great fight and this and that. You know, his persona has mellowed out a little bit. Do I agree with the things he does behind the scenes? Smacking guys in bars, cheating on his wife, apparently. I'm not saying that was true, but apparently there were pictures of him in a hotel room with another girl. You know, but look what this guy has done with his life. Like, you know, with the proper 12 whiskey and all that stuff. Like, he's used himself and he created a brand for himself when he came from nothing. There is greatness within that. There's 1,000%, I will agree with all the Conor fans, there is a certain element of greatness that you need to be able to do that. Not everybody can do that. So many people have tried to be this fighter and to be this character, you know, and not many people have been able to do it. He has. The Rock. The Rock is another guy. I can't stand The Rock personally, but The Rock has. He created this image for himself, and he created this, you know, this image for himself that sold. But if anyone else tried to create that Rock image, it wouldn't sell. It's The Rock. It's just the way he presents it. It fits him. It's perfect. Guys like Rowdy Piper, if you want to go back to professional wrestling, guys like Muhammad Ali, you know, there's certain people it just sells with. But if George Foreman ever tried to do the shit Muhammad Ali did, you think it would fucking sell? You think smoking Joe Frazier would ever be able to sell the shit that Muhammad Ali did? No. It's right place, right time, perfect fit, perfect puzzle piece. There is greatness in that. There is greatness in that. But I don't think Conor's a great fighter. I don't. Sorry. I don't think he's a great fighter. I don't consider Conor McGregor an all-time great. An all-time great. I personally think if you put Conor McGregor back in the Pride days, when pride was pride, when you were allowed to fucking bicycle kick, and these dudes were just fucking caged animals, I don't think Conor would be this great, great fighter. He'd be a very good fighter. But how do you think he would have did against some of these guys? You know, when you're talking about all-time greats, you got to go through, you know, all the great fighters in the division, all the great fighters in all the divisions, the roads that they have went through. That means a lot. That means a lot. The roads you've gone through means a lot. Look at Mike Tyson. I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this. I never thought Mike Tyson was a great fighter. I never, never thought Mike Tyson was a great fighter. Fortunately for him, he fought everybody. At that time, and I'm not taking that away from him, but it was a liquid and watered down heavyweight division. It was a watered down heavyweight division. Who did he really beat that was great? In their primes. In their primes. Who did he really beat that was great? Mike Tyson. You know, and the crazy thing about this is, and this guy wasn't even a great fighter. The guy that I'm going to mention isn't a great fighter, but this bothered me for a long time. And this is how brilliant. This is how fucking brilliant Don King was, okay? He didn't fight everybody. He did not fight everybody that he should have fought for that time. There's one man that he didn't fight. And the reason why he didn't fight him, because he was undefeated at the time. He had the same fighting style at the time. He had an iron cast chin at the time. He wasn't great, but the matchup was not good. Who was that fighter? I'm going to give you 5 seconds. You done? Ray Mercer. Why didn't he ever fight Ray Mercer? Think about it. Why didn't he ever fight Ray Mercer? Never fought Ray Mercer. They would never set that fight up. Always bothered me. Look at the fighters that Tyson has beaten. Was he the youngest champion? 17 years old. I get it. Eddie Richardson, Conroy Nelson, Sammy Scaff, Mark Young, David Jocko, Mike Jameson, Jesse Ferguson, Mitch Green, Reggie Gross, Lorenzo Boyd, Marvis fucking Frazier, Trevor Burbick, Tony Tucker, Tyrell Biggs, a washed up Larry Holmes, Michael fucking Crackhead Spinks, Frank Bruno, Carl the Truth fucking Williams. Like, look at the guys that he's fought. Then he fought on February 11th in 1990. He fought a guy who knew how to box for one night. For one night, the guy knew how to box. And his name was Buster Douglas. And he wasn't afraid of him. He wasn't afraid of him. Then he came back and they tried to work him up again. Henry Tillman, Alex fucking Stewart, Donovan Razor Ruddock twice, Peter fucking McNeely, Buster Mathis, Frank Bruno, Bruce Seldon. Then, lo and behold, he fought a really good fighter in Evander Holyfield and got knocked out. Then he fought Evander Holyfield again. He was getting starched and he got DQ'd. Then he came back and he beat Francis Fat fucking Botha, Julius Francis, Lou Savarese, Andrew fucking Galata, Brian Nielsen, Lennox Lewis. Knocked him out. Another fighter that we all know. Clifford Etienne, Danny Williams loses, Kevin McBride loses. Mind you, that was the tail end of his career. I get it. Mike Tyson was not a great fighter. He was an image. He was a bad fucking dude, man. Don't get me wrong. The guy hit like a ton of fucking bricks. Can his career have gone a little bit of a different trajectory if Customato didn't die? Yes, I do believe it could have been. It could have been a little bit, but you cannot sit here and lay blame on Customato's death. And that's the reason why he lost to fucking Buster Douglas, and that's why fucking Evander Holyfield. I don't buy none of that shit, dude. I don't buy none of that shit. There's no coincidence why the really, really good fighters back then, and then it was really watered down, there wasn't many, beat him. You consider Frank Bruno a good fighter? Michael fucking Spinks, Tony Tubbs, Reggie Gross, Mitch Green, Sterling Benjamin, Donnie Long, Lorenzo Kennedy, Larry Sims. You haven't even heard of half of these fucking guys. I don't even know if they're still alive. So you can't use it so fucking loosely, man. You can't. You can't use that term loosely. Mike Tyson was great for the era. For the era. He was great. He fought no fucking buddy. He didn't fight anybody. He fought who there was in that era. That's what he did. And that's commendable. And it's respectful. And I it's not his fault. He was in a time where there was only a few people that were good fighters. And he lost to them. He never fought the Riddick Bowes. He never fought guys like that. I mean, really, think about it. He never fought Riddick Bowe. Like, imagine both of those guys in their prime, Riddick Bowe. Can you imagine him back in the day with Muhammad Ali, dude? The dudes that he would have fucking faced? He would have got fucking crushed. And anyone who thinks otherwise is out of your mind. You're out of your fucking mind. If you think that fucking Muhammad Ali, if you think that Tyson would have walked into the era of Muhammad Ali, the guys that he had a fucking face, that all those heavyweights back then were considered all-time greats. Maybe not all of them, but greats. Great, great, great fighters. Very good fighters. Some of them great. You can't use it so loosely, man. You can't. I mean, you're really premising Conor's career on a 7-fight fucking win streak outside of all his accomplishments with the titles and the champ and the way he sold himself. And you're premising, on that. Like, if that's what you want to premise it on, fine. I don't premise it on that. I premise it on performance, the era that you're in, the people that you faced. Muhammad Ali fought in a fucking time, man, where they were assassins, these guys. Ken Norton, Ernie Shavers, fucking Larry Holmes in his prime. Sonny Liston, Ronnie Lyle, George fucking Foreman, Floyd Patterson, Jerry Quarry. Like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Tyson fighting Ernie fucking Shavers, dude? Henry Cooper, Archie Moore. Come on. I can go on. These are all great. These are all fighters that half of you guys weren't even born, but you know who they are. Ali was 56 and 5. I mean, Ali had 56 fucking, bro, 37 KOs. Against great fighters. Great. Really good. I mean, listen, he's had his share with shitty fighters too. Of course. Listen, it's part of the game, dude. It's part of the game. But that was a murderer's row back then. Even Chuck Wepner back then. Guy wasn't a great fighter, but you fought Chuck fucking Wepner, dude. You knew you were going to be in a fight. Rocky was fucking written after Chuck fucking Wepner. It was a different time. Tyson was coming in starching people 40 seconds in. People feared him. So he was great for the era, but he wasn't an all-time great. You need to beat all-time greats. You can't be fighting. Dude, Muhammad Ali fought fucking Larry Holmes in his prime. Mike Tyson fought fucking Larry Holmes. So think about how old Larry Holmes was back then. And even Tyson said after that fight, I'll never forget it. He said, it's great to have the name on the record, but it would have been a different fight if I fought him in his prime. Tyson even said that. Bone Crusher fucking Smith. Get the fuck out of here, Bone Crusher Smith. I mean, you guys got to just taper it down a little bit. I am going to agree with you, the people who love Tyson and the people who love Connor. I'm going to agree with you. They're great for the era. They were great for the era. Tyson did so much for the fucking heavyweight division. So much for HBO boxing. So much to draw eyes. He was a phenomenon. Like, everyone looked at him like this knockout machine. He put the heavyweight division back on the map. He was a pioneer in that way. He was the modern-day Sonny Liston. That's what he was. And we loved it. We craved it. We would be pissed off that we would fucking ruin our Saturday nights watching Mike Tyson knock somebody out for 40 seconds. But we expected it. That's what happens. He was great for the era. Something to talk about. There's someone to talk about. Conor McGregor, someone to talk about. The guy can beat anybody. The guy does have talent. There's nobody out there right now that I would sit there and say, you know, they're going to walk all over Conor McGregor. I won't. Does the cowboy fight make me nervous a little bit? No. A little bit? Maybe a little bit. But this fight is tailor-made for him. It's tailor-made for him. They're fighting at 170 pounds. I mean, cutting weight. Will it help Cowboy's durability a little bit? Maybe. Would it work against Connor a little bit? Maybe. With his gas tank? Maybe. If it goes to the ground, is this shit going to get really interested? Maybe. If this stays on the feet, Connor should win. I'm going to tell you this. Here we go. Let's talk about the Conor McGregor greatness story, because it's still optional, and it still can hit my mind, and I can still admit to you one day that Conor McGregor is an all-time great. And if he actually achieves this, maybe I'll say he's the greatest of all time in MMA. Okay, if he can fucking go into this fight and beat Cowboy Cerrone, which is expected, it's expected. This does nothing for his legacy. It's expected. Let me rewind a second. If he loses this fight, and I hear all-time great by anyone, by fucking anyone, I will fucking block you on Twitter. Literally block you on fucking Twitter. If I hear anyone say that, if he, God forbid, loses to Cowboy Cerrone, and you're still got this all-time fucking great talk in your mind, then I will fucking completely abort you from Twitter. So let's say he gets by Cowboy Cerrone. Let's say he wins the trilogy with Nate Diaz. Let's say he redeems himself against Habib, given Habib beats Ferguson, because I'm not so sure about that, guys. I'm not so sure about that fight. I got to be quite honest with you. That's a fucking tough fight for Habib. So let's just say Habib wins and he redeems himself and beats Habib. Let's just say Habib loses that fight. Then he fights Habib. He beats Habib, and now he gets a shot at the title with Ferguson, and he beats Ferguson for the title. Let's say all those things happen in that way, then yes, man, we're putting him in the fucking all-time great conversation. I get it. Won't even argue with you. Comes back, beats Cowboy, which is expected, goes in, wins the trilogy against Nate Diaz, zips that up, buttons that up, comes back. Either fights Habib for the title and wins, or fights Habib and then comes back and fights Ferguson for the title and wins. All-time great. Let me see him do it. If he loses to fucking Cowboy and you guys are still having this bullshit conversation, he's an all-time great, you're out of your fucking minds. If he ends up getting starched by fucking Nate Diaz, you're out of your minds. If he ends up getting starched by fucking by Habib, I mean, come on. Great fighters adjust. So let's see what he does. Case still open, guys. Case still open. Guys like Muhammad Ali solidified himself as an all-time great. He has still yet to solidify himself. He's still yet to prove to me and to many that he's an all-time great. But he still has the opportunity to do it, and that's the beautiful thing about sports. And that's the beautiful thing about the fight game. He still has the opportunity to do it. There is a murderer's row now waiting for him. It's not a watered-down division. The game has evolved. The game is good. He comes back and he wins these fucking fights. All-time great. Because he's fighting guys that are great. Now he's going to be fighting great competition coming back. Really no slouches. I mean, even Cowboys expected to win that fight. It's not a walk in the park, that fight. It's not a Dennis fucking Seaver. Guys like Sugar Ray Robinson. 202 fucking fights. 175 wins, only 19 losses. 108 by KO. The greatest of all time. He's the greatest combat sports fighter of all time. Sugar Ray Robinson. Those that you don't know him, look him up. Look him up. If you guys saw the movie The Raging Bull, he was the guy that fought Jake LaMotta, where Jake LaMotta was on the ropes and he was saying, "You never knocked me down, Ray. I never went down. You never put me down, Ray. I never went down." May 3rd, 1921, read his story. That's when he was born. Sugar Ray Robinson. Lightweight, welterweight, middleweight, even went to light heavyweight. 202 total fights, 108 KOs, 175 wins, only 19 fucking losses. He fought everybody. Everybody. The guy was the most graceful fighter you've ever seen in your life. And I know there's only black and white film on him. I studied this guy high and low. I've seen every piece of film on Sugar Ray Robinson. You put him in the ring against anybody today, nobody's beating him. That's an all-time fucking great. When you could say that, nobody's beating this guy. Sugar Ray Robinson had the perfect combination of speed, power, grace. I mean, even the way he roped, even the way he hit the speed bag, everything he did was just so ahead of its time. He was the perfect, Sugar Ray Robinson was the perfect fighter. Look at some of the greats that named themselves after him. Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Shane Mosley. Where do you think those names came from? Came from Sugar Ray Robinson. So don't toss around the great topic so much, guys. This is an open-ended fucking question that has yet to be answered. He has an opportunity to answer it. He's got a golden opportunity. Because the fighters are there to give him that opportunity. He's got to fight some fucking heavy set dudes, man. This ain't no fucking walk. This isn't fighting aging BJ Penns and Dennis Seavers and Brandows and stuff like that. He's fighting the best of the best right now. And that division and that little pool of fighters, they are the best that the UFC has to offer. And he's going to have to go through them. I still would love to see him in Gaethje. I hope that eventually happens. Listen, no matter which way that guy goes, one thing I will give him, he does not back down from a fight. He won't back down from a fight. His philosophy, I know what his philosophy is. His philosophy fighting at 170, okay, is that he could fight at 170. He doesn't have to cut weight. And if, God forbid, anything happens with the Ferguson and Habib fight, he can cut the weight and set in. Smart. Possible. It's the fifth time they're signing that fight. Very possible. There is a possibility that fight is jinx and hexed. I don't believe in hexes and jinxes, but there is a possibility. There is a very, very big possibility. I mean, five times. Who would ever think a fight would be canceled five fucking times? So, you know, that's basically all I'm telling you guys. When you're talking about all-time greats, there is really no right or wrong answer. You know, there's really no right or wrong answer. It's basically very opinionated. But if you want my opinion on the greatness of Conor McGregor, if he's going to be labeled in my eyes as a great, it's open-ended. It's not an answered question. It's not a locked question. He did not pass his window to have the opportunity to do so. He's got the perfect perfect track to prove to me and to prove to a lot of other people that how can you deny him at this point? He came back and he beat Habib. He buttoned up the trilogy with Nate Diaz. He beat Tony Ferguson. Maybe in between, he knocks out fucking Justin Gaethje and you know, gets by. Those are more sugar-coated fights. He's got the opportunity. See what he does with it. See what he does with it. All right, guys. Well, listen, I hope you like the pod. We are turning over a new leaf this year, 2020. I hope you had a great 2019, but I also hope 2020 comes in for you guys like a fucking hot steam, a hot steam train. And I hope you guys cash a lot of money. I hope your families are extremely healthy and happy. I hope it's a lucrative year for you in all aspects of life, not only financially, but in your health, in your family, in your goals, in your aspirations, everything that you guys want to accomplish this year. I truly, truly hope you do. I really, really appreciate every one of you that support me, that support, you know, our company. We have a great group of guys over there. We're running a huge special over there for the year. VIP, you know, it's all access. I mean, you're getting all access to DFS. You're getting all access to the betting. Tommy G and fucking MLB, like, these guys have been on fucking tears the last couple of weeks with college football and stuff like that. So, you know, it's crazy. We're like literally throwing these packages out for the new year. So you guys should definitely go out and check it out. Me personally, I am in the betting pack. So if you buy the VIP access, you're getting all my content. You're getting all my content. You're getting the article. You're getting my bets. If you're going on the DFS end of it, we also have the DFS side where the pricing is different. And that's where you're going to really get the meat and potatoes of the MMA stuff. You're going to get the article. Pretty soon, this podcast will not be free any longer. You know, this is just a few times I'm going to put these up to let you guys listen. And I want to hear you guys chime in and, you know, share it with your friends, and you guys can have your own debates on it. But eventually, you know, the DFS side of it is only going to be, you're going to get the article, full breakdowns in every fight. You're going to get the bets. You're going to get the two podcasts, Labology and this one. You're going to get DraftKings breakdowns. You're going to get just a multitude of things to really give you an edge anywhere you want to go, you know, with MMA, with combat sports, with boxing, with Bellator. I'm going to just be doing everything. I'm going to be covering everything, every avenue of combat this year. And I'm going to really, really, really do my best to let you guys and help you guys hit all your financial goals as far as from the betting and the DFS perspective. So I appreciate every one of you. I hope to see you in the new year. I hope to communicate with you guys a lot. Please do me a favor and share this podcast. It's free. It's not costing anybody anything. I would love to hear what you guys have to say. I would love to get some new ears. I would love to have you guys just spread the word a little bit about it. Like, you know, throw it out there, retweet it. And let's, you know, have more of the debate. Let me hear about what your you know, how you categorize all-time greats. Do you like what I said? Do you hate what I said? You know, this is what's beautiful about sports. You know, and beautiful about combat. And this is why we love it. And this is why we do it. So I appreciate every one of you guys. And we will see you in a few weeks with when the UFC goes on a run. Peace out, guys.